I remember my fifth grade teacher took me out one day, began to shake me by the shoulders and said, "Dwayne Jones, I think the devil's get a hold of you." I said, "I do too." She almost beat me to death. I remember those wonderful, wonderful days. Well, I'd better get to my assignment. I wish that my wife of 49 years was with me. We have been married 49 years, never had an argument. We made up our mind if either one of us got upset, we'd go outside till we cooled off, and outdoor living has been good for me, but we've had 49 wonderful years. We have 2 children, 5 grandchildren, and 6 great-grandchildren. How many know grandchildren is God's reward for not killing yours when they're teenagers? I see hands going all over the house. Some months ago, I was reading to one of my great-grandchild. I have 3 who are in preschool and 2 in kindergarten. And I was reading to him the story of creation. She reached up and touched my nose and ears and so forth and looked up and said, "Papa, did God make you?" And I said, "Yes." And I continued to read, and I noticed she was touching her tongue and eye, and said, "Papa, did God make me?" I said, "Yes." She smiled and said, "He did better on me than he did you." So I learned some things. I've been now with Mission of Mercy for 18 years. We were talking before service. I've been traveling full-time for missions almost 30 years. And when I'm not overseas, I'm out every weekend. And a few months ago, I got ready to go. My wife followed me out the car and gave me a little old sissy kiss on the cheek. Our neighbor down the street hadn't been married very long, and he was going to the convenience store. She came out and put one of those suckers on. I mean, just, it was pitiful. Just kissed him and like choked him to death. My wife looked at me and said, "Why don't you ever do that?" I said, "I don't even know the lady." So we've had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful journey. As you can tell. I, on behalf of all of our missionaries that you support, and our missionaries around the world, I want to say thank you for your support. They're not here tonight, many of them in places sick, lonely, hurting, preaching. On behalf of their absence, I want to say thank you. I don't know where many of you ever heard the name of Mark Buntaine, but in 1954, Mark Buntaine went into Calcutta and hung a lantern on the doorpost of hell. And you don't get any closer to hell than Calcutta, India. Calcutta, the city of Calcutta, geographically is the same size as the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. 36 square miles, and there's 18 million people. It's the cholera capital of the world, tuberculosis capital of the world, the leprosy capital of the world. And pioneered and built the first Protestant church that had been built in Calcutta in over 100 years. And out of that one church has now become the largest missionary enterprise anywhere on planet Earth. And we're getting to be a part of it. When Mark went to be with the Lord 18 years ago, they invited me to come and represent the ministry and be a part of the team. And I've been with it since that time. But would you believe, out of that one church, they have now pioneered 1,069 other Assembly of God churches. You want to know what's happening to your missions dollar? It's building churches and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're getting to be a part of it. Calcutta has a feeding program. Their kitchens cook 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. They provide 35,000 meals every 24 hours. 22,000 of those goes to the street people, the poorest people on planet Earth. I think that's what Jesus would do. I wish I had time to give you testimonies that have come out of that. We have a hospital. It's the only Assembly of God hospital in the world. Hospital provides medical aid to 100,000 patients a month. 60,000 of those is free of charge. You say, why would you have a hospital? I'm glad that you asked. Mark picked up the newspaper one day and noticed that a girl went to the local hospital to give birth to a child. She didn't have any rupees to get in, so she gave birth to the child on the doorstep of the hospital. By morning, the dogs of the street had eaten her little girl. And he said, my people deserve more than that. And today we have a hospital that's unbelievable, second to none in all of India. We have television in every room, not hooked up to ABC or NBC, but only plays what we put in to play. We see, we got a captive audience. They can't turn it on, they can't turn it off. And so when it's running, Pastor, it has nothing but Christian television from Benny Hinn and from others that have shared with us. I remember walking in the hospital one day and a Hindu woman with a little red dot between her eyes was wiping tears from her eyes. I apologized. I thought maybe that I had embarrassed her. She said, "Oh, no. I'm Hindu. But I just watched television. I've asked Jesus to come into my heart." She said, "For the first time in my life, I've got peace." She said, "Don't tell my husband. If he finds out that I've accepted Jesus, he'll disown me and I'll be ashamed on the street." But she said, "I'm so happy, 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 happy. I've got Jesus in my..." That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I haven't come to preach to you tonight. You got the best preacher in the whole country. I mean, he's told me that several times. And how many of you know a good pastor is a gift of God to the church? And outside of your relationship with Jesus Christ and your relationship with your family, you need the relationship with the man of God. Because you never know when the doctor says, "I've done everything I can do," the banker won't loan you any money, and the lawyer won't take your case. Your pastor will be there praying with you and encourage you. And thank God for pastors' wives that put up with pastors. Outside of salvation, that little lady's there is the best thing ever happened to you. In fact, you married out of your class. But they make a beautiful team, and I know that you love them as we do. I got to share something with you. Out of those 1,069 Assembly of God churches, 60% of those pastors was a sponsored child. Somebody here in America gave $30 a month to send them to school. Unbelievable. And they got an education, were introduced to Jesus Christ. And now they're pastoring the churches. My wife had cataracts removed a few months ago, and the doctor was an Indian. There's a lot of wonderful Indian doctors, I'm sure, all over Houston. And that, naturally, I asked him, "What part of India are you from?" And he said, "Well, I went to school in Mark Buntane School in Calcutta." And he said, "Somebody here in America paid my bill to send me to school." And now he's an eye doctor in Oklahoma City, a born-again believer, and is my wife's eye doctor because somebody paid his way to go to school. 3 years ago, my wife had a cardiac arrest. She fell dead in my arms, straight line, for 21 minutes. Finally, God brought her around. They said that she would never be, her mind wouldn't function, her kidneys wouldn't function. She would never drive an automobile. And she has a pacemaker now in her heart. And the doctor that works on her pacemaker is a doctor. He's an Indian. He's from Calcutta, India. He was a sponsored child. He's a born-again believer because somebody in America invested in him and introduced him to Jesus Christ. You say, "Brother Jones, you sound like you're excited." You better believe it. I'm the most excited. I'm so happy I have set on my hands, keep them clapping all the time. Because I am blessed, blessed, blessed. You say, "Brother Jones, you don't have to get so excited. We're a mature glad tidings." Well, I don't have to take a bath either, but it sure makes me feel good. And when I realize the prayers that we prayed, the miles that we've traveled, the dollars that we've invested is making a difference in our world now and in people's lives, that's something to get excited about. If you care to sponsor a child, there's some on the altar tonight. All you need to do is get out this envelope, fill it out, give it to me, take this home with you. In a few days, you'll get an information package. You may have wondered on television, what happens to all that money? I don't know. I thank God for all of these compassionate ministers. But these kids are in Assembly of God schools, introducing them to Jesus Christ. Let me just bring you up to date before I even begin to preach. I'm not here to preach. I'm a reporter to bring to you some of the exciting news that God's doing. In Bangladesh has become the passion of my heart. Bangladesh geographically is the same size as the state of Arkansas with 150 million people. It's the second highest populated Muslim nation in the world. Take everybody in America west of the Mississippi, including Alaska, Hawaii, and Canada, and put them in the state of Arkansas and pay them $80 a year and you've got Bangladesh. 31 years ago, Pastor, the Assemblies of God told our missionaries to come home. Right off Bangladesh. There's no hope for Bangladesh. Our one first missionary, Brother Calvin Olson, he spent 13 years and had one convert. And the Assemblies of God said, "Come home, there's no hope." But there was a young man by the name of Larry and Sharon Smith, 27, 28 years ago, went into Dhaka, which in 2015 will be the second largest city in the world. Now we have five Assembly of God churches in a city soon be of 20 million people. But 27 years ago, they began their ministry. And the last few years, God's begun to move. And today we have over 400 Assembly of God churches in Bangladesh. And did you know this is the second highest populated Muslim nation in the world? And did you know every 3 weeks they're pioneering a new churches out in the village? And people are getting saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. And our Bible school is packed out. We're raising money to build a Bible school. God's going to give us Bangladesh. Did you hear what I said? In the second highest populated Muslim nation in the world, village people say, hey, come to my village and build a school and a church. We'll come, but if we do, we're going to tell you about, we want to know more about, this is Muslims. They said, we've watched your kids. They're smarter than ours. How many knows God blesses his people? You're healthier than our people are. The Christians, we've noticed their cattle and their rice are better than ours. Would you come and tell us how we can do it? And we start a school, a medical center, introduce them to Jesus Christ. And thousands are coming to know Christ as their personal Savior. And we're getting to be a part of it. That's what your missionary dollar is doing. Let me quickly take you to Baghdad, Iraq. Since the war started in Baghdad, the Assemblies of God has grown by 35%. In Baghdad alone, we have a Bible school, Assembly of God Bible school. We have five Assembly of God churches. One runs over 1,000 in attendance. They interviewed him the other day and said, what are you allowed to do in the midst of the war? Tears filled his eyes. And he said, we can do anything we want to do if we're willing to die for it. We had a young man that wanted to open up a Christian radio station. He went to London, England, got his license. Came back to Baghdad, and naturally, as you know, the government wouldn't let him. So he opened up a website introducing people to Jesus Christ. I'm not making these numbers up. Did you know today they're averaging 300,000 hits a month from Muslims all across that country? And their number one question is, can your Jesus give us peace? They said, we've been faithful to Allah. We have no peace. We have poverty. We had war. We have sickness. And thank God through the website, we're introducing them to the Prince of Peace. And thousands of them are coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if you young people get involved in Speed the Light, Speed the Light has bought 7 computers. They have employees that work 7 hours a day, 24 hours a day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they're going back on a website and introducing people to Jesus Christ and that Muslim world. My, you're a dead bunch. And we're getting to be a part of it. I get excited. We're getting to be a part of that. You see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In 1914, 300 men filled with the Holy Spirit met in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and started what we know as the Fellowship of the Assemblies of God that we're a part of today. They were 300 men. Most of them had been kicked out of nominal churches that didn't believe in speaking in tongues. But when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, a fire burned in their heart. And those 300 men thought they could evangelize the world. You see, the purpose of this fellowship is to evangelize the world. Let me say that again. The whole purpose of the whole church is to take the whole gospel to the whole world. Let me try this side. The whole purpose of the whole church is to take the whole gospel to the whole world. You see, the DNA of the Assemblies of God is missions. Let me say that again. We may have glad tidings, faith assembly. Some may have altars, may not have altars. Some have high tech, some has no tech and low tech, and some has long hair, no hair, or whatever. We're but when it comes to missions, it pulls all of our churches together, because the DNA of our fellowship, you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if you don't have a passion for the lost. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, and ye shall be my witnesses. And the thing that keeps us going, I believe this with all of our heart, is somewhere across this fellowship in this building, there's men and women that you love the lost. You care for those that do not know Jesus Christ, that do not have fire insurance. God's blessed the efforts of the Assemblies of God. Please understand, I realize the Assemblies of God is not the only fellowship. I thank God for all of our churches, not other denominations that have. I've had the privilege of visiting and ministering in 56 countries of the world. I thank God for all of them. I thank God for the independent, non-denominational churches. They're doing some wonderful things. But our prayers and our resources are going to Assembly of God missionaries that you and I know support. And I want you to know God's blessed the efforts of the Assemblies of God, and we're getting to be a part of it. I've had people come, "Brother Jones, I don't even believe in missions." I said, "Well, the devil doesn't either. I wouldn't brag about that. I'm not real good on counseling." Did you know because of your giving, we now have almost 70 million members of the Assemblies of God worldwide? That does not count the children. That does not count the 80 million adherents. That does not count those that have already died and gone to heaven. It does not count those that have died a martyr's death. But because of your giving and sending our missionaries that go out and win 10 to the Lord, they win 100 to the Lord, they win 1,000 to the Lord, they win 10,000 to the Lord, they win 100,000 to the Lord. It's because we sent the missionary there and introduced them to Jesus. I know what I'm talking about. I was the first Assembly of God church ever to go to the islands of Tonga. When we arrived, there was no Assembly of God there. We did not know one living soul. But we planted the church. And today they have over 30 Assembly of God churches. They have a Bible school. And you notice last week the evangel, or maybe this week, features Tonga, where we were the first Assembly of God missionaries going there. It's because somebody sent us there and got the church planted. And today the church is live and well, and we're getting to be a part of it. Amen. Did you know we have Assembly of God presence missionaries in 217 countries of the world? We have U.S. embassies in only 190 countries of the world. We're doing better than the government's doing. Did you know if the revival among the Latin Americans down through South America continues to grow as it's going right now, just in the Assemblies of God, at the rate of 2 million people a year? Just in the Assemblies of God, phenomenal revival among the Latin America, and you and I are getting to be a part of it. Did you know every 20 minutes somewhere in the world there's a new Assembly of God church? Did you know in this 2-hour service tonight, if you're lucky, there'll be 6 new Assembly of God churches, and you and I are getting to be a part of it? I get excited about it. That's what your investment is doing, is making a difference. Hello? I wish you could go with me to Orissa, India. Orissa, India is a 12-hour train ride south of Calcutta. If you don't know how to pray, get on the Indian train, you'll learn. Orissa is the poorest nation in the state of India. We made the 12-hour train ride. My life was changed forever. We spent the time in Jharsuguda. I got a newspaper clip and I brought it home with me. I keep it at my desk. Well, many of the women there in Jharsuguda, the kids are starving to death. And they were taking them to the market and selling them for 65 cents apiece. It's not that they didn't love their kids. Before you begin to criticize, their breast had gone dry. They had no milk. The babies were dying. What would you do? I'm not talking about hungry. I'm talking about starving to death, knowing they'll be sold into slavery. They scream. They holler. They pull the hair out. With my own eyes, I learned that from television. I don't know what that means. Is that good or bad? I hope it's good. We drove by Guru Temple. We just dedicated 2 little Assembly of God churches. Drove by Guru Temple where they were having a celebration. They cut the heads off of 5 little Indian boys. Offered their bodies to the Guru gods in protest of us being there. You could feel the power of darkness. In the western side of Orissa are the tribal people that were featured in the National Geographic magazine some years ago. They have not been influenced by Western civilization. Men and women both only wear a loincloth, and the men wear bones through their nose. They have not been reached with the gospel up until a few years ago. While we was in Jharsuguda, a young man, his name was Pilot. He was our chauffeur while we were there. He came out of a 30-day fast and told our missionary, John Bridge, that God told me to go to the tribal people. He said, "Don't go up there. They'll kill you, and you know that. Go back and finish your 40-day fast." And after 40 days, he came out and his face was all a beam, smiling like he didn't have any cavities. And he said, "Pastor, God told me to go to the tribal people." They put him on a speed-the-light bicycle. He said, "Brother Jones, I never pedaled a step. I don't know whether it was a wind of the Holy Spirit or an angel. I got on the bicycle and it began to roll. Rode it all day long and came up to a mango tree and stopped. Got him a mango, had a mango for dinner, slept on the ground, took off. 5 days he did that. On the sixth day, he arrived in the tribal people and his bicycle stopped. He got to looking around. And a few minutes here came five men jumping up and down with bones through the nose and said, "There he is, there he is, there he is." Come running up to him. He said, "Do you know of a God that can give us peace?" He said, you don't know who I am. Why would you ask me?" He said, no, you don't understand." He said, "We've prayed to many gods and we cannot find any peace. But one night we looked up in the sky and he said, if there's a God that can give us peace, please let us know him." And we got a vision. There'd be a young man riding a bicycle. And when he comes, he'll have a big smile on his face. And he will tell you of a God that can give you peace. Do you know him? And he shared the story of Jesus Christ. And two of those tribal chiefs gave their heart to Jesus. In February of last year, I was in Calcutta. And one of these men that got saved had heard I was going to be there. He came up, rode the train, and came up there. And I got my picture made with him. Did you know he's already pioneered over 100 new Assembly of God churches? You say, "Brother Jones, do they have padded pews?" No, they don't have padded pews, but they've got Jesus. Do they have chandeliers? No, but they've got Jesus. Do they sing off the wall? Do they use hymn books? I don't know, but they come and they're not in a hurry. They don't look at a clock. But for the first time in their life, they found the Prince of Peace and they learned they can worship him. And all of a sudden, those little grass huts are filled with the glory and the presence of God because somebody cared and somebody went and you and I sent them there. And I'm here to say thank you. The Bible tells in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, now hang on, it's going to get good. Paul writing to the Philippian church, thanking them for the gifts and the offerings that were sent to him that give him support when he made his missionary journeys. And the NIV says, "For the support that you gave to me and the people that came to know Christ, they'll be credited to your account when you stand before God." How many, don't raise your hand, but if you supported missions down through the years and those missionaries have won people to Christ, they're going to be credited to your account when you stand before God. That's one of the reasons we're going to shout when we get to heaven. Yeah. Let me give you an example. Cambodia is one of my favorite places in the world. Most of you know about Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge soldiers, at least the killing fields. I've been to the killing fields a number of times. It still breaks my heart. In one pile, there's 10,000 skulls, reaches higher than the steeple of this building. I got a bark off a tree I stole. Well, I got it and brought it home with me. I keep it in my desk. And every few weeks, I take it out and I hold it in my hand. And I weep. Because it was that tree, they took 121 babies and busted their skulls and piled them up. Their baby bones are still scattered there. It's to remind me, if you wore glasses, they killed you. That everybody that wore education was done away with. Till this day, there's no public education in Cambodia. No kids can go to school outside of a compassionate ministry such as we have. And there's others that are there. They offered us 200,000 kids. If we had the money and resources, we could have taken 200,000 kids. Train them. Educate them. Get them filled with the Holy Spirit. We could have run the whole nation. You say, "Well, you're just raising a bunch of rice Christians." I'm glad you brought that up. I wish you'd go to one of our homes where we got boys 8 to 12 years of age. A few years ago after breakfast, they went back to the dorm, locked the door. One of the national workers heard noises coming, didn't know what it was, tried to get in. The door was locked. Come, got our missionary brother and sister Sullivan, said, come. The boys are crazy. They opened up the door, and 25 of those junior high boys were laying flat on their back, speaking in a heavenly language. No one had told them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they began to sing songs of the church. And blazing from another world, the Holy Spirit came down and baptized every one of them with the Holy Ghost. Two of them are full-time evangelists today. They'll be going to villages that we'll never go to. And they're telling them about Jesus Christ. And we're getting to be a part of it. I remember when we first arrived. That time it was still dangerous. A lot of Pol Pot heirs out there killing people. We had a man in front of us on a Jeep with a machine gun. One behind us with a machine gun. We would hire a van to take us. Took us up to Kampong Soon. We got some property and opened up an orphanage. I wish you could meet one of the girls. Her name is Pickadai. Picadine now graduated from my college. When she was 11 years old, her father sold her into prostitution. Riding on the back of an ox cart, a vehicle struck, crushed her right leg. The pimp looked at her and said, "You're no good," and threw out the ditch to die. But somebody found her and brought her to our orphanage. See, in our school, in our orphanage there, every few months, American doctors come over and they help us. They amputated her leg. With your missions dollar, we bought her an artificial leg. Today, she's teaching in Bible school in Phnom Penh. She has the most beautiful smile. She smiles like my wife does when I come home. My wife smiles so big, she gets lipstick on both ears when she sees me coming. Well, I just made that up. But anyway, let me believe it anyway. Pick a day. What do you do? She said, "I teach in the Bible school 3 days a week, and then 2 days a week I go to the village. I gather all the children around and I tell them Bible stories." Tears began to roll down her beautiful olive skin. She said, "I wanted to get into the women's prison, but they wouldn't let me in." But you see, Picaday is credited to your account because it was Assembly of God missions money that sent us over there to get the land, get the Bible school. And when Picaday was one of the Lord, she's credited to your account. And she couldn't get into the women's prison, but she won a young lady to the Lord. And the young lady said, "Will you go home and have dinner with my mama and my papa tonight and tell them I'm a Christian?" Not knowing that her father was the warden of the women's prison. After they had dinner that night, Picaday won the warden to the Lord. And now she can go into the prison anytime that she wants to. And women are getting saved. And when they get out of prison, they're going back to their villages and telling them about Jesus Christ. You see, it was your money sent to missionary over there that won Picaday to the Lord. You see, God had an Amway plan before Amway ever was. And to think that you and I are getting to be a part of, are you still with me? That's what's happening to your mission. I was born ugly and had a relapse. Our youth pastor knows how I felt. No offense, sir. I believe I could take a picture of him and put it on dash in my car and get handicapped parking. I got to get a picture. I love you, buddy. Just want to be a friend. I hope my humor doesn't offend you. I get tired of crying. I'm just a country. Anybody ever live in the country? I mean, we live so far in the country, we had to drive toward town to go hunting. Went to a tough high school. They checked us every morning to see if we had a knife or a gun on us. If we didn't have one, they gave us one. Our football team never won any game. We didn't have any equipment. We only had one helmet for the whole team. And the boy that ran the ball, he got to wear the helmet. I played tailback. Every time I got off the bench, coach said, "Get your tailback on that bench, boy." I wasn't very good. Now, this is the truth. The home that I lived in when my wife and I got married had tar paper on the side. We didn't have running water. We didn't have inside plumbing. Didn't have a television. Didn't have a telephone. That was my home. All three of us boys slept in the same room. Some of you remember that. I slept with my older brother. I never slept by myself till I got married. But one night, you remember Jim Anderson, one-armed Jim Anderson from India, came to our church. He began to beg for the lost souls of India. And I knelt at the altar. You say, "Brother Jones, when did God call you? Did he burn your house down? Did you have a wreck?" No, I don't know. I don't know that God ever called me. I volunteered. I said, "God, I'll give my best. I'm not the sharpest tool in this yet. I know that. But nobody can take my passion." Let me say that again. You don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed. But you give me a young person with that passion, and they can do anything in the world they want to do. Amen. Passion will find a way. Passion will find a way to get enough money to buy a car. Passion will find a way to establish a church. It was passion that our pioneer pastors found a shed. I saw the pictures out here where this church started. I don't know who the lady was, but what caused her to come here in a shed and start through? I'll tell you what it was. It was a passion for your soul. Amen. And that's what your missionary dollar is doing. Let me quickly take you into Swaziland. I love Swaziland. I was there in July of last year. Came home and had a stroke, and I've been stumbling ever since. Swaziland has the highest rate of AIDS of any nation in the world. 51% of all adults have AIDS right now. Some of the villages, they're dying faster than they're being born. Our missionaries, David Olerking and his son-in-law and daughter, Ben Rogers, are living there. Also, our pastor from Ponca City, Bartlesville, somewhere up there. Yeah, up there. When we arrived, we told our missionary, we'll be with you 10 days. Show us what you're doing, the projects you have, and how we can help you. First church he took to, the building was full of kids because they teach them, they feed them, they clothe them, they medical, and have church on weekend. The building was full. Outside was a beautiful little African lady. She was in a cardboard box and she had a puppet. Ah, she was just a singing. Kids were just a bouncing all over everywhere. I know she had scars on her face. We asked the missionary, what did those happen when she was born? Her father cut their face to make her ugly so evil spirits wouldn't come in when she got to be a teenager. You see, in that part of the world, can I pause and say this? Christianity has made a difference in America. Regardless of what we think's going on now, there's no place like America. Amen. There's no place in the world that treats the women and kids like Americans do. Amen. I want you to know that. You see, most of part of the world, the women don't count. Most of part of the world, children don't even count in church. They don't have children in church. Who cares? But Jesus cares. And this great fellowship calls the Assemblies of God, they care about your soul. This church cares about your soul. Got to inquire about this lovely lady. Her husband, you see that part of the world, the man rules, period. They go out and they have sex with a prostitute and they contact AIDS. They go to the witch doctor, and the witch doctor says, if you'll have sex with a virgin, you'll be healed. And so that's the way they live. He came back and gave AIDS to his wife. Found out his wife has AIDS. He said, I'm taking you back to your father. I want my four cows back. This was in July of last year. I want my four cows back. He took her back to her mother and father, and the father found out his daughter had AIDS. He said, I don't ever want to see you again. You're no good, blah, 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 and run her off. What does a woman do that has no AIDS, no husband, got two kids? She can't read. She can't write. There's no welfare program. There's no food stamps. There's nothing. Before you judge her, just think for a minute. If your children were starving to death, you'd do just about anything to get food for them. So she turned to the streets as a prostitute. But one day she came down the street, and out of this church, she heard gospel songs being sang. She came around to the door and she started in, and the saints in the church wouldn't let her in. They said, you're no good. You're a dirty woman. Go away. They wouldn't let her in. But she stayed outside, Pastor. For the first time in her life, she heard of a God that would heal her and save her and give her a new beginning. And when the pastor gave an altar invitation, she ran to the door. Hey, here's my hand. Hey, preacher, here's my hand. He invited her to front. God not only forgave her of her sins, he healed her of AIDS. Today, she's the superintendent of that school over all of those children, introducing them to Jesus Christ. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why I'm missionary. I'll be honest with you. I don't leave every weekend because I don't love my wife. I don't have a Sunday off until May of next year. I don't go to India because I love India. I don't spend hours in the stupid airport and delays because I love airports. I don't go to Africa because I love Africa. But the reason why I go is I fell in love with Jesus. And he said, who will go? As I said before, I know I'm not the sharpest tool as yet. But if somehow we can go and help get a church started and introduce somebody to Jesus Christ. I've learned something. My wife had this cardiac arrest. I had open heart surgery 9 months ago. We got matching zippers on our chest now. I'll tell you what, friends, when you're lying there with a 4-bypass pacemaker defibrillator, they told my wife that she'd never drive an automobile, her brain wouldn't function, her kidney wouldn't function. Today she drives an automobile and we're doing workshops. I work and she shops. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. When you're lying there with both of us with a four bypass, a lot of stuff doesn't matter. Amen. We didn't look at each other and say, honey, do you think we'll live long enough to get us another car? We'd hold our hands and pray at night, God, give us one more day. God, give us strength for another day. And today we're going strong. Let me say this again. When you stand before God, He's not going to say, hey, did you enjoy the trip? Hey, did you have fun, Jesus? I just called you that because of your shoes. I'm not making this up. We will give an account before God. We will. And He's not going to ask, did you have fun? But were you faithful? Have you been faithful? Brother Jones, missions is boring. It's not boring if you're excited about the things the Master's excited about, and that's fulfilling the Great Commission. I'll tell you what's boring. Try to explain to the news media what God's doing in your church from a computer printout. That's boring. That's about as exciting as a sister's kiss and spam for Sunday lunch. But if you want to get excited, be a part of a church. I think I saw some missionary posters out here that knows every month we're helping that missionary to stay on the field. And when they win somebody to Christ, they're marked up on your account when you get to heaven. They're going to say, glad tidings got that one. Glad tidings got that one. And you and I are getting to be a part of it. He took us out to a village that is known for kidnapping kids and selling them to men who have AIDS so they can have sex with them. And they are being told by the witch doctors they'd be healed. The most popular girls are 4 to 8 years of age. I'm not making this up. Politicians go over and give $3 million because they want to win an election, but they're not doing much for AIDS. I'll just be honest with you. Some of the kids were as young as 2 years of age. Our missionaries have bodyguards around their two children 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Pray for you, missionaries. They're making a sacrifice. Why would they do that? Why would they stay in a community that they know that their kids are being watched 24 hours a day? How can we kidnap these kids? I'll tell you why. It's a passion. It's not because they're assigned from Springfield. It's because there's a passion of fire that burns within their heart. Took us out to a village where they were throwing cow dung and rocks. I'm not as big and tough as you think I am. I got behind our missionary. He had made friends with somebody out there. Walked down through the village, a mud hut, ducked ahead, and went inside. There lay a beautiful young lady. I'm going to say she's 25 to 35 years of age. Skin and bones, gasping for breath, dying with AIDS. I've never been around that before. The first thing went through my mind, if I breathe the air that comes out of her lungs, can I contact AIDS? I'm serious. I didn't know whether to take it back to my wife. I know I've learned out later, everybody past 65 has AIDS. Hearing AIDS, roll AIDS, band-aids, you know. I was glad that I was there, Pastor. And I wasn't scared, but I wasn't comfortable. They talked back and forth. Finally, he said, we have a man of God from America that's come to pray for you. I looked around. I said, I hope he heard me. Yes, sir. He said, Brother Jones, would you pray for her? And she stuck out that bony hand and I took hold of it. It was icy cold. Death was taking its grip. And I learned something. I didn't, in the name of Jesus, Lord, bless the birds that sing, the fish that swim. I couldn't pray like that. I began to weep. I said, Jesus, you love this girl. I'm asking you now in the name of Jesus. You see, I found out the authority is not in the volume of our voice. The authority is not in the tears that we shed. The authority is in the name of Jesus Christ. That's above all names. And I said, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, heal this woman. We left, and up the hill, they gave me some antiseptics. We washed our hands. I told the missionary, I said, I apologize. I didn't pray my Pentecostal fashion, you know. And he said, didn't you recognize the evil spirits were there? And I didn't. Then it dawned on me. That's what it was. But we left. 5 weeks later, after I got home, they sent me an email. And God has healed that woman of AIDS. Not only has He healed her, But she's going around through the village and showing everybody what Jesus has done for. Now put your seatbelts on. This is something that's just happened. Now that village that used to sell kids to men that had AIDS has given us property to build an Assembly of God church on. And the name of Jesus Christ is be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And to think that you and I are getting to be a part of it. That's why I get so excited. Yeah. I've had people say, Brother Jones, I'm not going to give you anything. How much time do I have? Are we going to eat? I'm having to eat four meals a day to keep my weight up. I don't want to... My wife's got me on a diet to lose 10 pounds a month. She figures in 2 years I'll be gone. I don't know what's going to work or not. I tried that Slim Fast. I'm drinking two cans between every meal, and I still can't lose weight. Brother Jones, nobody ever gave me anything. My daddy left my mama. I grew up in a housing project. I worked my way through high school. I bought my clothes. I bought my bicycle. I paid my way through college. I bought my house. I bought my car. I'm a self-made man. And I looked at him with baldness, bifocals, bridges, belges, and bunions and said, well, dear God, what'd you make yourself like that for? Hear me. How many of you know if God were to lift his hand from your life, you wouldn't have enough sense to find your way home tonight? I am what I am because there's a good God up in heaven. Won't you lift your hands and give the Lord a praise? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I do not understand it. Don't, please, I know the devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't understand disease. My father, a godly man, died with cancer. I'm just simply saying if you're here tonight and you're able to walk and to run and to eat and you're able to tell the difference between a pancake and a hubcap, it's because God's got his hand upon your life for a purpose. Hello? It's because God's goodness and grace to us. Let me continue to close. I don't preach long. I usually preach, well, I'll tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her eighth husband, I'm not going to keep you very long. Let me take you to China. As you know, in China is the most populated nation in the world. We've made several trips into China. We have an orphanage in China. Let me just share with you. We've got an orphanage in North Korea that's got 500 kids that we're supporting in North Korea, which they won't let in Christianity come in there. But the exciting thing about it is a man from China is paying the bill. But see, we're not running out of money. We're running out of time. Particularly when you get my age. I don't know how old your pastor is. When he was born, the Dead Sea was just six, so I know it goes way, way back. In China, you can only have one child. That's true today, and y'all know that. If you have two, you've got to get rid of one of them, or the government find out you'll lose your job. You'll be put out of your home. You'll be in embarrassment, and you'll be in poverty the rest of your life. So here's what happened. The family has a little girl, and we'll say she's 4 years old, and a boy, a son, is born. And the father says, I want to keep the son to keep the family name going. What do they do with the girl? They sell her, kill her, throw her in the river, get rid of her, abandon her. As a result of that, over in Kunming, the southwest part of China, there's thousands of abandoned kids. I don't know how they all got there. They steal. They've learned to eat leeches and roaches and roaches and worms and go through garbage. It's unbelievable. A Buddhist woman was moved with compassion, and she began to take them in and feed them. The Buddhist population found out about this, and they began to support her, some of the movie stars. She became the Mother Teresa of that part of China. But one day, she was in her bed, sound asleep, and she was awakened, and Jesus appeared to her. She jumped up and said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, the Son of God. She said, well, I serve Buddha. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I don't know the whole conversation, but you cannot have an encounter with Christ without changing your life. She found her a Bible somewhere. A New Testament, and she began to read the stories. And she began to tell these stories to her kids. And the Buddhist people found out about it, and they stopped her support. And that's where Mission of Mercy was invited. I had the privilege of raising money to build 8 different language groups buildings on her compound. And now we operate that there in Kunming. After a few months, or maybe a year, I'm really not sure, but one day, the communists come in, and they said, we're going to shut this place down. No Christianity. And the guys got to looking around and say, hey, these people don't steal anymore. How many of those Christians don't steal? These Christians don't steal anymore. And look at them. They're well. They're getting an education. They got clean clothes. We can't stop this. So they came back a few weeks later and they took her Bible. And they said, you can teach this book, but no religion. Hallelujah. And we think the devil's smarter than we are. Well, friends, the devil does know some things. The devil knows that Jesus says, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll tell you something else the devil knows. Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. I'll tell you something else the devil knows. He knows the blood has not lost his power. Amen. Friends, if water would wash your sins away, we would quit singing there's power in the blood and sing power in the tub if water would wash your sins away. I'll tell you something else the devil knows. He knows whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'll tell you something else the devil knows. Soon and very soon, you and I are going to leave planet Earth, and that sucker's going to wind up in the lake of fire. Now, friends, if you're Baptist, that's a good place to nod your head. If you're Pentecostal, that's a good place to shout. For a few months, we're building a Bible school. We've got that. Churches are being born faster than we're having pastors. Some pastors are pastoring 2 and 3 and 4 churches. They go from 1 to 1 to 1. This is the time for Bangladesh. It's going to cost $700,000 for the property. I started raising money 6 weeks ago, and we've already got over $500,000. We had one man, pastor, gave us $250,000. Wanting like $200,000. I'm asking you tonight, would you help us? Lord Jesus, thank you for Brother Calvin Durham and his lovely wife that you brought to this church 10 years ago, and we see the high-level spiritual leadership that's going on here. Thank you, Lord, that he would allow me to come knowing that he had a full schedule, but he still gave me an opportunity, and I'm going to ask a special blessing upon him. Bless these people tonight, this church, that we've already found out for months and for years they've supported missions. But tonight they realize we're bringing souls to Christ. They're going to be credited to your account because you sent the missionary there. Bless our people as they give tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. As our pastor come to receive an offering, please don't leave. This is what I want to ask you to do in just a few moments. Across the altar tonight are children. This one's from Jordan. We've got children in Vietnam. I wish I had time to tell you about Vietnam. Vietnam is the purest saints on planet Earth. Did you know we have over 300 Assembly of God churches in Vietnam, and it's illegal to have a church? You know why the government, and I'm not criticizing the Baptist, the government has approved the Baptist to build churches. But they said, we've watched you Pentecostals. If we give you permission to build churches, you'll have them all over Vietnam. Well, he's got that right. We've got working in Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Bangladesh, Bhutan, North Korea, China. Working in the Philippines and India. We're also working in Honduras and Haiti. Working in Romania. Got a large work in Romania and Pakistan. We're working in Kyrgyzstan, in Egypt, Ethiopia, Kenya, Swaziland. We've got 32,000 kids we feed every day of our lives, or their lives. So what I'm asking you tonight, my project is this Bible school. But after the offering is received, would you come to the altar? I'm not asking you to sponsor a child. I'm serious about this. I'm asking you to pick up the profile and look at the face of that child. If you believe that your prayers can reach halfway around the world, for some of these children, I just got them the other day, have never been prayed over by American prayers. I want you to look at that child. I want you to pray. Your prayers can reach around the world.
Amen.
I just want you to look at him. If the Lord speaks to you, sponsored, fine. If he doesn't, that's fine. I'm serious. But would you help us, Pastor?